In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, in the proximity of this great feast of your birth into the world at Christmas, we go to Our Lady who made it possible, to Saint Joseph who looked after her on the journey to Bethlehem, in Bethlehem, and in the flight into Egypt. Help us to live the spirit of this great feast well. And we go back to the beginning, the Annunciation. Mary and Joseph are betrothed. They are not going to have children because they understand this is God's will for them. And then an angel appears to Our Lady to announce a change of plans. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Suddenly, on an ordinary day for Our Lady, perhaps working in the house of her parents, an angel, and the understanding in the Old Testament and into the New, was that if somebody saw God or saw an angel of God, they would die. And perhaps that, apart from the very message of the angel, made Mary afraid. He says to her, "Hail, full of grace." And in this, the Church sees Mary's Immaculate Conception. No one was full of grace at that time, but Mary, yes, so that she would have that spotless soul, that spotless womb in which to receive the very Son of God, Jesus himself. Full of grace, the Lord is with you. God is with you in a very special way. And Mary, who regarded herself as just one more young girl from Nazareth or from Israel, now is greeted, "The Lord is with you." So the angel comforts her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." In spite of your understanding that God doesn't want you to have children, you will have a child, and he will be, moreover, the Messiah, the very Son of God. As the angel goes on to say, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The Messiah would be a descendant of David. His kingdom would last forever. This son to be born of Mary is the Messiah, and moreover, the very Son of God, the Son of the Most High. And Our Lady wonders, how can this be? She does not know Joseph according to the flesh. She does not intend to do that, nor does he intend to live anything other than complete chastity with her. And the answer, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You will conceive Mary by the Holy Spirit." Something unheard of. How does a virgin conceive? And then she probably remembers those words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, words that are said by the angel also to Saint Joseph. And let us read them as Saint Matthew relates them. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to send her away quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Words from the prophet Isaiah. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, because that son to be born of Mary is the Son of God. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Lord, this is that Annunciation to Our Lady, and what is her response? Having questioned how this could be, since she does not know Joseph by the flesh, accepting that answer of the angel, that extraordinary answer, you will conceive by the Holy Spirit, Mary believes. She believes that she, a virgin, can conceive by the Holy Spirit. And we can ask her, Mary, help me to have more faith, to believe that whatever God has revealed to me, he can do. And then the angel goes on to give Mary a sign and to tell her of the power of God. Behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And Lord, help us to remember those words. With God, nothing will be impossible. God is almighty. God is all merciful. He can work miracles, and he is constantly working miracles. If we take into account that for every beatification done by the Church, there is a miracle required, and then for every canonization, there is a second miracle. Many miracles are being done today, and Lord, help me to have the faith to ask you for miracles, if indeed what I'm asking for would be a miracle. To have faith, Mary, help me to believe more. And then Our Lady's answer to the angel, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That surrender, that obedience of faith, as the Catechism calls it, giving as examples in Scripture of the obedience of faith, Abraham and Mary, a total surrender to God. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word, as if to say, whatever you want, here I am, I will do your will. And this is that docility to the will of God, and this is holiness. What is holiness? As St. Alphonsus answers, all of holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing his will. Not sweet words, Jesus, I love you, but deeds, doing his will. And Mary accepts that will of God, and Mary does the will of God, and accepts Jesus into her womb. And with that, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God became man in the womb of that young girl. the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took flesh in her, took his humanity in her, spent the next 9 months in her womb, and was born on Christmas Day. The Word was made flesh, and Lord, you were the first Christmas present. If children ask, why do we give gifts at Christmas? The parents would be likely to answer, because the wise men brought gifts to Jesus. But they were bringing gifts to Jesus because there was a prior gift. Jesus was the gift of the Father, and they were responding to that gift by their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As St. John tells us in the third chapter of his Gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave his only begotten Son. He so loved this world, this sinful world, made up of us human beings. And God loved this world. He loved every one of us. And we can all say in a personal sense, God so loved me that he sent his only begotten Son. He gave me Jesus, his only Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, as that first Christmas present. And how am I going to respond to that gift? The way Mary did. St. Luke continues in his Gospel, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. How does Mary respond to that gift that was given to her? Take that gift to Elizabeth. And she does not hesitate. She went, as St. Luke tells us, in those days and with all haste. She is eager to visit Elizabeth and keep her company and help her until the birth of her son 3 months later. And Lord, this is the way we respond to your gift to us, to take you to others. And there was every reason for Mary not to go to Elizabeth. If we think of what might have gone through her mind, it could have been, I would love to go and help Elizabeth, but that is a long way away, a journey of 5 or 6 or perhaps 7 days. It's a hazardous journey, and I hardly know Elizabeth. And she doesn't really need me. Her husband Zechariah is there. There will be other women in that town that will help her when it comes time for the delivery. I love Joseph, and I don't want to be separated from him. I'm carrying a child in my womb, too. Perhaps I could get somebody to help me. We have to prepare for our wedding. We are betrothed, but there is that extra ceremony now of the wedding. Everything was arguing against going, and Mary goes in those days and with all haste, and she stays not for 3 days or 3 weeks, but for 3 months. Generosity, taking Jesus into the life of someone else and bringing that great joy that Mary brought. That joy of which St. Paul writes to the Philippians, and let us read his words in the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know of your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice, because God is with you. The Lord is at hand. The Lord was in Mary's womb, and she brought him to Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, and the child leapt for joy. When Jesus is at hand, people are happy. And Lord, we have you in our life, in our soul, in the state of grace. You are there looking after us in your loving providence. We talk with you in our prayer. We receive you in Holy Communion, where you live in us and we live in you. You could not be closer to us than you are. But help us to take you too into the lives of others. And there are so many who don't know you. So many of our fellow Catholics who really do not know you, who do not practice their faith, who scarcely pray, who do not receive the sacraments, who hardly ever go to Mass. We can bring you into their life by our kindness, by our smile, by our generosity. Mary does that. She shows us how to respond to that primordial Christmas gift. Help someone else. And whatever we do to others, Lord, we are doing to you. We are repaying you for the gift through others. As you said when you described the Last Judgment, and let us read your words in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. The king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Lord, we can repay you through others. And in so many ways, we can live out what you have described. Parents feed their children. We also can feed the poor through our donations to charity, through feeding them perhaps on the street. We feed the hungry. We give drink to the thirsty. We clothe the naked, giving away those clothes that we don't need. Visiting the sick and perhaps those in prison. So many ways to honor you through those around us, as Our Lady does. Help us to discover this way of repaying you, of giving that best Christmas present to others, the gift of ourselves, the gift of you. Because yes, we are giving of ourselves. In some sense, it is easier to buy a gift, wrap it up, and give it to someone on Christmas Day and see their face light up with joy, than to give the gift of ourselves, of that sacrifice for another, accompanied by a smile. And sometimes it can be very difficult, even within the family. Maybe we have a sick member of the family, and we spend so much time looking after that person, making their life more pleasant, reducing the pain of their sickness by our very presence. And Lord, in doing that, we are serving you. Or perhaps another family member who has come home late, hasn't had dinner, and we accompany them while they have dinner. Or all of those chores that mothers and fathers do for the sake of their children. Making the meals, doing the laundry, doing the ironing, doing the cleaning. And husbands and wives do those chores, and often, hopefully, the children too. And they are doing that for the other members of the family, accompanying someone who simply wants to go for a walk, or get some exercise, or go shopping. And we don't particularly feel like it, but Lord, we see you in that family member, and we put ourselves out for them. We do what they would like us to do, and children can do this with one another. Perhaps there is a younger child that wants to play, and the older children, a few years older, don't particularly feel like playing with that three-year-old, or that two- or four-year-old, but they put themselves out, and they spend that time playing and making that other person so happy. Or what program is the family going to watch on television? And we might have our choice, but the others want to watch something else that we don't particularly like, but we say, yes, let's do that. And we watch it with them, and we end up enjoying it too, because we have put ourselves out for them. We see Christ in them. So many ways to love Christ through those around us. And then relatives and friends. That phone call. I heard you weren't well. How are you? How is your wife or husband? That daughter or son whom I heard was sick. That visit to that family. Taking a meal perhaps because one of the parents is in hospital. Visiting someone who is sick in the nursing home, in the hospital, in their home. Phone calls, Zoom conferences, so we can see them as well. Christmas cards, of course. And it takes time to write a Christmas card. But what a joy when someone goes to the mailbox and finds that card, opens it and reads it, and is so happy to have heard from us. Lord, we can give joy to so many people, especially at this Christmas time, and help us to do that. And also, we can repay you directly to you. You have given yourself to us. We can give ourselves directly to you in our prayer. But we might ask, how much do I pray? Do I find regular times each day for prayer? From the morning offering as soon as we get out of bed, and maybe some petitions there to help us during this day to do your will, to live more in your presence, the Angelus at noon, some mental prayer, to spend 10, 15 minutes just talking with you in our own words, taking the readings from Mass each day. They are on the mysteries that relate to your birth. How much we gain from reading them and meditating on them. The Rosary, that beautiful prayer which considers your life, and especially now the joyful mysteries of your infancy, the Annunciation to your mother, the visitation in which she takes you in her womb to visit Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and Zechariah, and bring so much joy. Your birth in Bethlehem, and we pray that mystery with so much devotion now at Christmas. The presentation in the temple, 40 days after your birth. The finding of you in the temple when you were 12. All of those events, all of those mysteries of your infancy up to the age of 12. And in this, we are relating more directly to you. We are loving you, showing that love simply by being with you. And if we say, yes, but I have so many distractions. Everybody has distractions. But Lord, you are happy that we're even spending the time with those distractions. And of course, we try to fight the distractions. And then penance, and especially before Christmas, in this season of Advent, which is a season of penance, as we know from the purple color of the vestments, from the absence of the Gloria in Sunday Masses, as the history of the Church always regarded Advent as a season of penance in preparation for that great feast. And we can ask, How much penance am I doing? Special penance for Advent, as we have special penances for Lent. And then that other aspect of Lent, apart from prayer and fasting or penance, the almsgiving or charity that we have just considered, giving of ourselves to others. And then we are living Advent as a little Lent. And then, of course, always doing your will. Because love is, as we have said, not just sweet words or feelings, but doing your will. And if it costs us, so much the better. We think of parents getting up many times during the night to feed that newborn infant. The joy of the infant, but in a sense, the penance of having to get up numerous times during the night. But they do that with so much love. And Lord, we will do that for anyone with so much love because we are doing it for you. That person for whom we do it benefits, but you receive that gift as well. And Lord, help us throughout the day to ask, what are you asking of me now? What is your will for me in this moment? From getting out of bed on time in the morning, starting that job that we have to do, preparing that meal, doing the laundry, finishing that job that we have started, ringing that friend or visiting that friend, writing those Christmas cards. Whatever you are asking of me, help me to see that it is you standing at my door and knocking. And we read in the book of the Apocalypse, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens to me, I will come in and take my sup with him. But Lord, help us to open. Because sometimes we hear the knock, we hear you at our door, and we know who it is, and we don't want to open. And we can't do that to you. It is you knocking in the person of that telephone call coming in, and we know who it's from because we can see the number, and we're not particularly keen on answering that call, but we do it. That person is you. And perhaps this call might be very, very important for that person. That knock at the door, those requests from members of our family, from others in our life. Help us to be attentive because it is you knocking through those people. And whatever we do to them, we do to you. What opportunities we have to return the gift that you have given us, that gift of yourself, by loving those around us and loving you directly through our whole life of prayer. Christmas should be a very happy season. We wish people a merry, happy Christmas. But let us do that not only in words, but by our deeds. And what we do to them, we are doing to you. That we give the joy of Christmas to everyone around us. That stranger in the bus or on the train that we pass on the footpath that we see in the shop, perhaps just a smile. Somebody cares about them. And those people more directly in our lives that we look after, that we ring, that we visit. And they are so grateful, as Elizabeth, Zechariah, and John the Baptist were grateful for that visit of Mary. Lord, we can bring joy into the lives of so many people at this time by giving of ourselves, responding to that gift of yourself to the world, by that gift of ourselves to you and to those around us. Then we have you in our life. We have that joy of the Lord being near, and we bring you into the lives of others and give them that joy too. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.